Task 2. You will hear part of an interview. Choose the option A, B or C that best completes the sentences according to what you hear. Sentence 0 is an example. Now read the sentences.
Maggie O'Farrell's last novel, Hamnet, blew me away. It is the story of the only son of William Shakespeare, about whom little is known, and O'Farrell set out to imagine who he was, how he died, and whether Hamnet's short life might have inspired one of his father's greatest plays. Well, her new novel takes on a different time and place, Renaissance Italy, but it also centers on a real person about whom little is known and whose young life was also cut short. It is titled The Marriage Portrait, and it opens with the following three-sentence historical note.
In 1560, 15-year-old Lucrezia di Cosimo de' Medici left Florence to begin her married life with Alfonso II, d'Este, Duke of Ferrara. Less than a year later, she would be dead. The official cause of her death was given as putrid fever, but it was rumoured that she had been murdered by her husband.
That is the author, Maggie O'Farrell, reading, and she is with us now. Welcome. I'm so glad to speak with you again.
It's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
So those scant details that you just told us constitute pretty much all we know from the official historical record, which meant you had all kinds of running room for your imagination, and you imagine her as quite a wild spirit. How did you come to realize the fuller character that appears in the pages of this novel?
Well, I think it's no coincidence that the writing of this novel was pretty much bookended by the pandemic. And I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of the novel is about constraint and lack of choice. So Lucrezia was married off to Alfonso, the Duke of Ferrara, in a kind of politically advantageous union for her father. She was sold for, I think it's something around the amount of 50 million pounds. That was her that was her dowry.
Right.
And also I realised in my research that her parents, so her father Cosimo de' Medici and her mother Eleonora, quite unusually educated their daughters alongside their sons. So Lucrezia and her two sisters, they would have been highly intelligent, erudite, well-read young women. And I just thought, you know, obviously their destiny is to make this union for their families. But, you know, all that education and intelligence and reading, it doesn't just disappear. You know, there needs to be some kind of outlet for it. So I imagine that Lucrezia might have been a painter. And also, let's not forget that the Medicis had hanging on the walls of their palazzos, you know, the original Botticelli. Mm-hmm. You know, they had The Birth of Venus. And I was thinking, well, what must it have been like to have, you know, have had The Birth of Venus basically in your living room?
There's a scene early in the novel where I felt like I was starting to get to know her. It involves a tiger that lives, as they do, in the basement of the palazzo where the dad, Cosimo de' Medici, has a private zoo. Describe it and why you wanted that scene.
Well, actually, strangely enough, that was the first scene I ever wrote about Lucrezia. And in a sense, it was my way into her character. And I just read that Cosimo had kept this menagerie of exotic animals in the basement of the palazzo. So, and I was just in a Renaissance art, it's filled with lions. There are so many lions in Renaissance art, but very, very few tigers. And I think that's because they'd never actually seen one. So the chapter is entitled The First Tiger in Tuscany, and Lucrezia catches a glimpse of it and really wants to see it herself. And so she goes down, she escapes down to the basement late at night, and she puts her hand through the bar of the cage to touch the tiger. And it was just my first image of her as this very little, very determined girl.
I read an interview you gave to the Times of London in which you describe Ferrara's cruelty to his sisters and how you read about this and thought, okay, the gloves are off, Alfonso. Explain.
Well, at the beginning of the process of writing the book, you know, there are some historians that believe that Alfonso murdered Lucrezia, and there are others who say that he didn't, that she died of natural causes, possibly of pulmonary tuberculosis. And I think at the beginning I wanted to be quite even-handed. I thought, you know, I must give this man the benefit of the doubt. And then I read about this situation where one of Alfonso's sisters, he discovers that she's having an affair with the head of the guardsmen in the Castello. And this is absolute historical recorded fact. Alfonso was very proud of this. In order to show to everybody that this was not to be tolerated, he sentenced the man to be strangled to death and he forced his sister to watch. And this just, you know, absolutely made my blood run cold. I thought, well, this man is more than capable of having killed Lucrezia, so I'm going to run with that interpretation of history.
You made a pilgrimage to the real Lucrezia's tomb.
I did.
Where is it? What did you find?
Well, she is buried, along with the other Este family, in a monastery in the south of Ferrara City. And I got to Italy just as the travel restrictions were lifting, and the monastery was completely shut. So I rang this huge kind of iron bell that I had to pull, one of those really impressive bells, and the nuns came to the door and I had to explain to them in my not very good Italian what I wanted to do. And we had this slight back and forth, and then they said to me, nobody has ever asked to see her tomb. And that really broke my heart. So I had taken flowers and I put them on her grave, and I'm not ashamed to say I did have a little bit of a cry, because it was just, I mean, who knows what the nuns thought. This slightly kind of possessed woman who's incredibly hot in the Italian heat bursting in and saying, I really want to see this grave, and then crying. But I felt so, it was so sad to know that she was there, that actual her with her bones were under that stone on the floor, but nobody had ever wanted to see her.
Maggie O'Farrell, thank you.
That's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Maggie O'Farrell, talking about her new novel, The Marriage Portrait.
Now, listen again.
Maggie O'Farrell's last novel, Hamnet, blew me away. It is the story of the only son of William Shakespeare, about whom little is known, and O'Farrell set out to imagine who he was, how he died, and whether Hamnet's short life might have inspired one of his father's greatest plays. Well, her new novel takes on a different time and place, Renaissance Italy, but it also centers on a real person about whom little is known and whose young life was also cut short. It is titled The Marriage Portrait, and it opens with the following three-sentence historical note.
In 1560, 15-year-old Lucrezia di Cosimo de' Medici left Florence to begin her married life with Alfonso II, d'Este, Duke of Ferrara. Less than a year later, she would be dead. The official cause of her death was given as putrid fever, but it was rumoured that she had been murdered by her husband.
That is the author, Maggie O'Farrell, reading, and she is with us now. Welcome. I'm so glad to speak with you again.
It's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me.
So those scant details that you just told us constitute pretty much all we know from the official historical record, which meant you had all kinds of running room for your imagination, and you imagine her as quite a wild spirit. How did you come to realize the fuller character that appears in the pages of this novel?
Well, I think it's no coincidence that the writing of this novel was pretty much bookended by the pandemic. And I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of the novel is about constraint and lack of choice. So Lucrezia was married off to Alfonso, the Duke of Ferrara, in a kind of politically advantageous union for her father. She was sold for, I think it's something around the amount of 50 million pounds. That was her that was her dowry.
Right.
And also I realised in my research that her parents, so her father Cosimo de' Medici and her mother Eleonora, quite unusually educated their daughters alongside their sons. So Lucrezia and her two sisters, they would have been highly intelligent, erudite, well-read young women. And I just thought, you know, obviously their destiny is to make this union for their families. But, you know, all that education and intelligence and reading, it doesn't just disappear. You know, there needs to be some kind of outlet for it. So I imagine that Lucrezia might have been a painter. And also, let's not forget that the Medicis had hanging on the walls of their palazzos, you know, the original Botticelli. Mm-hmm. You know, they had The Birth of Venus. And I was thinking, well, what must it have been like to have, you know, have had The Birth of Venus basically in your living room?
There's a scene early in the novel where I felt like I was starting to get to know her. It involves a tiger that lives, as they do, in the basement of the palazzo where the dad, Cosimo de' Medici, has a private zoo. Describe it and why you wanted that scene.
Well, actually, strangely enough, that was the first scene I ever wrote about Lucrezia. And in a sense, it was my way into her character. And I just read that Cosimo had kept this menagerie of exotic animals in the basement of the palazzo. So, and I was just, you know, Renaissance art is filled with lions. There are so many lions in Renaissance art, but very, very few tigers. And I think that's because they'd never actually seen one. So the chapter is entitled The First Tiger in Tuscany. And Lucrezia catches a glimpse of it and really wants to see it herself. And so she goes down, she escapes down to the basement late at night, and she puts her hand through the bar of the cage to touch the tiger. And it was just my first image of her as this very little, very determined girl.
I read an interview you gave to the Times of London in which you describe Ferrara's cruelty to his sisters and how you read about this and thought, okay, the gloves are off, Alfonso. Explain.
Well, at the beginning of the process of writing the book, you know, there are some historians that believe that Alfonso murdered Lucrezia, and there are others who say that he didn't, that she died of natural causes, possibly of pulmonary tuberculosis. And I think at the beginning I wanted to be quite even-handed. I thought, you know, I must give this man the benefit of the doubt. And then I read about this situation where one of Alfonso's sisters, he discovers that she's having an affair with the head of the guardsmen in the castello. And this is absolute historical recorded fact. Alfonso was very proud of this. In order to show to everybody that this was not to be tolerated, he sentenced the man to be strangled to death and he forced his sister to watch. And this just, you know, absolutely made my blood run cold. I thought, well, this man is more than capable of having killed Lucrezia, so I'm going to run with that interpretation of history.
You made a pilgrimage to the real Lucrezia's tomb.
I did.
Where is it? What did you find?
Well, she is buried, along with the other Este family, in a monastery in the south of Ferrara City. And I got to Italy just as the travel restrictions were lifting, and the monastery was completely shut. So I rang this huge kind of iron bell that I had to pull, one of those really impressive bells, and the nuns came to the door and I had to explain to them in my not very good Italian what I wanted to do. And we had this slight back and forth, and then they said to me, nobody has ever asked to see her tomb. And that really broke my heart. So I had taken flowers and I put them on her grave. And I'm not ashamed to say I did have a little bit of a cry, because it was just, who knows what the nuns thought. This slightly kind of possessed woman who's incredibly hot in the Italian heat bursting in and saying, I really want to see this grave, and then crying. But I felt so, it was so sad to know that she was there, that actual her with her bones were under that stone on the floor, but nobody had ever wanted to see her.
Maggie O'Farrell, thank you.
That's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Maggie O'Farrell, talking about her new novel, The Marriage Portrait.
This is the end of task 2.